Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. You're invited to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. It just may be the most important 30 minutes of your life. This show is about education, motivation, and inspiration, and all without any manipulation. We have nothing to sell, and at no time do we ever request money. So just sit back and listen and learn how you can let the tremendous resources of God's riches deliver you from stress in time of adversity. The Flatline is a military acronym for Forward Line of Troops. By deploying the tremendous problem-solving devices of the Word of God on the flatline of your soul, you can stop the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. God has provided certain promises and principles that, when you believe them and when you adhere to them, they will give you fantastic happiness, even in the middle of unbelievable adversity. One of the things I enjoy doing on this show is introducing you to some of my wonderful friends that have used these very concepts in their own personal lives. And many that you meet here have gone from tragedy to triumph by using problem-solving device number 3, the faith rest drill. You know, we spent a lot of time, if you've listened to this show for any amount of time, we spent time discussing the 10 problem-solving devices found in the Word of God. We've discussed problem-solving device number 1, which is rebound. And that's 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sin, then He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. We've discussed problem-solving device number 2, the filling of the Holy Spirit. You see, rebound solves the problem of sin. What do I do when I sin? How do I recover and resume my spiritual life? The filling of the Holy Spirit solves the problem of your sin-infused human nature. All of us have a sin-infused human nature. It's called the old sin nature. It lives in us. We got it from our fathers. The Bible even tells us, for by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin. And now death is passed on all, for all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. So how do I handle being two different people? Well, I allow God's Holy Spirit to control my life. And how do I do that? Well, every time I rebound, every time I confess any known sin to God, I'm instantaneously filled with the Spirit. I'm no longer quenching the Spirit or grieving the Spirit. And this is a tremendous problem-solving device for us because we do not have to live in the energy of the flesh. There's a different way to live. It's called the spiritual life. And the spiritual life is empowered by God's Holy Spirit. Problem-solving device number 3 is the faith rest drill. And we've talked about how you use the faith rest drill in solving problems. This is claiming the promises of God. When you as a believer look into the Word of God, and you'll hear some illustrations of that this morning from my guest, and you claim one of the 7,000 promises that God has in His Word, you can find tremendous strength and encouragement in time of adversity. This is the only way to handle it. Only by looking to the Word of God can you calm your fears and relax and not convert the outside pressure of adversity to the inside pressure of stress. Problem-solving device number 1, rebound. Number 2, the filling of the Spirit. Number 3, the faith rest drill. And then we talked about biblical orientation as far as orienting to life from the Word of God and not human viewpoint. And we also talked about grace orientation and how you orient to God and life through grace, understanding that we're saved by grace, that we live by grace, we die by grace, and there's grace coming in the future. God has graced us out. If you took a breath of fresh air today, that's the grace of God. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ controls this universe. He is the one who controls history. It's all grace. So when we understand these problem-solving devices and put them into effect into our life, we're able to keep the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. Today, you're going to meet some wonderful friends of mine. You're going to meet Jerry and Gene Wilson of Vestavia, Alabama. Jerry played football for Auburn University and was a defensive end on the famous 1957 National Championship team. He went on to have a successful career in the NFL and the Canadian Football League. and they have two wonderful daughters, Jennifer and Jeannie. They're twins, but Jeannie was born with a medical condition called spina bifida. And welcome. Hello. Glad you're here.
Hello, Rick. Thank you for having us.
Hello, Rick.
Jerry, Auburn. Yeah, you know, I played a little bit at Alabama. You played at Auburn. So here we are across the table looking at each other. But I got to tell you, Auburn's having a great year in football, and I sure hope Alabama does too. But thank you for being a guest on our show.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Now, first question, right off the bat. Gene, are both you and Jerry believers in Jesus Christ?
Absolutely.
So you have been saved, and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior.
From an early age of 13, as far as myself.
You got saved when you were 13 years old.
Youngster.
Where were you when that happened?
Hunter Street Baptist Church.
Wow, that's where we met, Hunter Street Baptist Church. Cool. Now, Gene, I want you to explain to us, as I just said, Jeannie was born with a condition called spina bifida. Now, this is an illustration of using the Word of God to go from tragedy to triumph in your life and her life as well. And there are people that are listening to us that have had a lot of tragedy in their life. So would you please, to start with, explain to me what this condition entails?
Well, Rick, spina bifida is a disorder involving incomplete development of the spinal cord caused by failure of the fetus's spine to close properly during the first month of pregnancy. A child may also have hydrocephalus, which is an excessive accumulation of cerebral spinal fluid in the brain. Well, Jeannie had the severest form. She had that, and she was also born from her waist. She's paralyzed.
Paralyzed from the waist down. And she also had the fluid on the brain as well?
Right. And when she was about 3 months old, she had to have a shunt put in to regulate this fluid.
Now, I want our listeners to be sure and understand something. What's the normal life expectancy of a child like this?
Well, they told us 2 weeks.
And now she's 37 years old.
They really didn't know that God had a plan for her because they gave us that. We left Jeannie in the hospital for 2 months.
Well, we had to leave her in the hospital
for
2 months. And you never expect her to come out of the hospital, did you?
No.
I did in a way, and then it got to a point where I didn't.
Wow. Well, now here's another question for you. That's a pretty vivid understanding of what this disease entails. How many children are born with this? You see this across America a lot?
I believe it's like 1 in 100, but now they know that folic acid, not enough folic acid in the diet.
Is that what causes it?
Contributes
to it.
Yes.
Yeah, and there is no cure.
No cure.
Wow. Okay. Now, when this happened, how long had you been married when you had these twins? Just a few years?
68. We were married 65. Three.
3 years when you had the girls. And here's another question for you. At this time when the girls were born, were you serious students of the Word of God?
No.
Serious in the sense that we went to church on Sunday and maybe Wednesday every now and then.
And that was Hunter Street Baptist Church, back when it was out in the West End area of Birmingham, where we actually met each other.
Right.
Well, now, let's move on to some other questions here. Jerry, when you first heard about this, when the doctors told you of Jeannie's condition, or did you have any idea before she was born that this was going to happen?
Not one penny of an idea. I was completely shocked when he pulled me aside and told me that... He told me, he says, well, you got twin girls, and one of them's perfectly healthy young lady, and one of them's got spina bifida. And I had no clue what he was talking about.
You didn't even know what that was, did you?
Spell it.
Well, that was my question. How did you feel when you heard of the condition? You were just blown away. You were shocked by the whole thing.
Absolutely, completely shocked.
And when you saw her, I guess you were totally broken as well, because
yes.
I know your heart, and I know how you are, so... It would have broken any father to see his daughter. You just didn't have any idea what God's plan was at that time, did you?
I had none.
Gene, will you give us an idea of some of the hardships you faced as a mother of a spina bifida child? What exactly, you know, during the day or during the course of the week, what did that demand from you?
Well, you know, I had her twin sister, Jennifer, so... I was having one baby to take care of. We brought Jeannie home when she was about 2 months old, and where they had removed the meningocele, that's where the nerves grew up on the top of her back, every 2 hours, we had to put a warm saline solution on that night and day. So we were constantly.
Every 2 hours?
Every 2 hours.
How many years did that go on? Or months?
Until it healed up. It was months before it finally healed up.
And were you still playing football at this time?
Mm-mm.
You were in the business world by then.
Right.
Okay. And what else? I mean, we know she couldn't walk. And
to keep her hips from coming out of socket, we would have to take her to clinic where they would put kind of a body cast on her to keep those hips pushed up, and also on her feet to keep the heels, her feet, from drooping. And so she had a body cast on with a bar in between, and that's how we would kind of carry her around. And she, this was every 2 weeks we had to go and have that changed out.
Wow. Now, as far as normal bodily functions, she wasn't able to use the restroom or go to the bathroom, control that.
Right.
And still, even today, you have to manage that as well, don't you?
That's right. She does that.
She does it.
Wow. Absolutely.
Catheterization.
I'll tell you what, when I met her, she was just a rug rat. She was just going around on the rug having the biggest time. She didn't know anything in the world was wrong with her.
That's right.
Well, the first time she broke her leg was because when she was about 4, she did a cartwheel and flipped over and broke her leg.
And probably didn't even know it was broken, did she?
She didn't.
She didn't realize it was broken. Wow. Well, Jerry, now, you know, during those early years, did you ever complain to God or question God why he let this happen to you? You know, you hear about people in the hurricane-ravaged areas of the Gulf Coast saying, why did God let this happen? That thought ever enter your mind? Did you ever think God might have been unfair letting this happen to you?
Oh, I thought that many, many times, Rick. I would phrase it exactly what you said. Why me, God? Why would this happen to me? And it was hard to get the situation in your mind without trying to figure, was it something that you had done that God had, was like, it's
like you felt guilty, like maybe God was punishing you for something you did.
Right.
That's a horrible burden for people to bear.
Yeah.
We call that a skeleton in the closet. And sometimes, even if our listeners, when they rebound or confess their sin, if they don't forget about it and walk away from it, if they put it in a closet and then something bad happens to them, and then they go back and they say, oh, I knew God was going to get me sooner or later. And that's the worst guilt. I mean, Satan uses that to manipulate believers all the time. Even pastors use it to manipulate people. And it's a terrible thing to get involved in. What about you, Gene? Did you ever complain in those early days?
Oh, I was devastated. We didn't mention it earlier, but our first pregnancy ended in a stillbirth.
No, I didn't know that.
And then Jerry's father died within that next year, and then the girls were born, and yes, I said over and over, you know, God, why did this happen to
you? So you were you seemed like every few months you got hit with another tragedy.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. Well, so many people, and myself included, when these things happen, if you don't have the Word of God as a problem-solving device in your life, you don't have anything to turn to but your doubts and your fears because you don't have any confidence. What about Gene or Jerry? Is there a certain verse of Scripture, and this is what's important in using the faith rest drill, is there a verse of Scripture that you found comfort in those days?
Someone had sent me a card when Jeannie was in the hospital, and it was Proverbs 3:5-6 that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And that's what I did. And even when I kept praying, God, heal Jeannie, just please heal Jeannie, he just kept bringing this verse back to my mind. You've got to just trust me. You've got to believe me. You've got to have faith in me.
A lot of times, what you've just brought up is what a lot of people do. When they come under personal tragedy, sickness, they want to be healed. They want God to make it go away. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ did not heal everybody when he came here. And those that he healed, he did as a sign of his messiahship or his authority. And people often today, even in Christianity that we know today in America, there's so much sensationalism and so much new movement in the Christian church where people want to be healed. They want God to make everything go away. I can remember saying how people wanted to make God a genie in an eight ball. And, you know, oh, God, make it go away. And then they didn't need God the rest of the time as long as everything was all right. But when things are bad, just make it go away. Was that the way you felt?
Like
if God would heal her, then everything would be fine and wonderful and life would be normal. And yet, in spite of that fact, by not healing her, he gave you the most phenomenal life anybody could ever have. There's no way the people listening to this radio show can understand what a tremendous triumph this woman's had in her life and the personal Absolutely. Joy she's brought to you.
I tell you, Rick, once we got into the Word of God and got searched out his promises and his word, it's amazing how the burden of that tragedy was not disappeared, but it was alleviated tremendously. Like one couple of verses that I have that I still use all the time is this in Isaiah 41:10, it's fear thou not, for I am with thee, I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Wow.
And in Lamentations, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not, they are renewed every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
And this is coming from you. I mean, people don't know you. They haven't seen you like I've known you all these years. You're a big, strong dude. And yet it's the strength of the Lord that gave you the ability to handle what you faced. It wasn't your own personal strength. Because this is one time in your life that you weren't tough enough or man enough to handle this.
Right.
Anytime else, you could have handled it. And, you know, if you couldn't knock it down, you could whip it or something. But now you had to go to the Lord because you had no strength to deal with this.
Once we got into the Faith Rest Technique, it was a format for success in life again that we were...
Gave you hope.
And encouragement.
Yeah, and that's, again, the Faith Rest Drill. And that's something that Gene and Jerry learned a long time ago. And that's to, number one, go to the Word of God and claim a promise. It's exactly what they've just done telling us right here. This is what stabilized their thinking. You see, if you don't know the Word of God, you have no backup plan. There's nothing to stabilize your thinking, and your thoughts run wild. Your fears will control you. Your guilt will manipulate you. And so by learning the Word of God and having confidence in God's Word, you guys, and myself as well, were able to stand on something secure and say, this is what God said. I believe it. Correct?
Absolutely.
Well, then the next thing that we have to do in the Faith Rest Drill is reverse our concentration, go back and consider some of the concepts like God's integrity, God's righteousness, justice, sovereignty. And we know God could have stopped it. We know God didn't stop it. We know God had a plan. And so then you come to a biblical conclusion. And sometimes some people will quote, sometimes all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. But the key condition there is to those that love the Lord. A lot of these promises have conditions with them. And sometimes it's the condition to obey me, one of the mandates to obey me. So, wow, I'll tell you what, it's just amazing. Now, here is the real wonderful aspect of this. Tell us, Gene, how God has turned what appeared to be a cursing into a wonderful and marvelous blessing. Tell me how he did that. Tell me some of the blessings that have come out of what you thought was going to be a cursing in your life.
It wasn't long. I guess it was about 7 months, 8 months. God had just changed our life, and we were given the opportunity to tell our story. And Jerry was speaking one time, and my father happened to be there and listened to him. And this changed my father's life, and he became a Christian.
And he got saved as a result of hearing Jerry talk about how God had given him the strength to deal with Jeannie?
Absolutely.
Wow.
And my father died about 2 years later.
Yep.
So it was just amazing that I can look back now and see how God
what good
had,
comes out of it.
Yes.
What, Jerry, in your life, what good came out of this? What blessing has God given you from what you thought was a cursing to start with?
The blessing came, Rick, from the Word of God, the promises, and the Scripture that you can lean on every day and not be afraid of anything.
So you kind of came to the idea or the position in your life where you didn't feel so helpless anymore, like God really was in charge of things?
Instead of maybes and want-tos, it was more of a absolute coming out of the Word of God.
I mean, when you have a child like this, Gene, it's a reality check real quick, isn't it?
It surely is.
And it's a commitment. You just can't walk away. This is something that, what I thought about it all is this is a way that God humbles us sometimes. And did he humble you through all of this?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And the thing that stands out is people that either got back in the Word of God or became Christians due to Jeannie's witness. She, even to this point today, she's one of the better witnesses you'll run across.
Well, I know about her accomplishments. Let me read a few of these accomplishments for our listeners here today. Of course, Jeannie's motto has always been Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. And Jeannie has gone on to be a world champion athlete. In 1989, she was the very first female to compete for the United States in an international competition in weightlifting. And this was held in Stoke, Mandeville, England, and she won the gold medal and set a world record in the 60-kilo class. Now, there's a blessing. Someone that you thought was only going to live a month or two has now won a gold medal in 1989. And then in 1990, she was given the Fred Sinkton Award for the Soaring Spirit and chosen by the Sports Writers of Alabama as the most outstanding physically challenged athlete for the state of Alabama. She went on to the World Wheelchair Championships in Saint-Étienne, France, and competed for the United States and won the silver medal there in the 56-kilo class. And then in 1991, she competed in the World Weightlifting Championships in Kingston, Rhode Island, and won another gold medal in the 52-kilo division and set a new record. And then in 1992 at the National Championships in McAllister, Oklahoma, first place again in the 56-kilo division and set a new record. And then in 1993, another world championship record. In 1994 in the wheelchair games all the way down in Melbourne, Australia. Holy cow, that must have been a trip. How long were you on the airplane for that one?
27 hours.
One way?
No, we had stopover.
Oh, you had stopover.
But it was a 27-hour flight to get there. Good grief. And she won the 60-kilo division, and the U.S. women's team won the world championship there. And then in 1995, she's a national champion. 1996, Dixie Regional, and this was held at Auburn, Alabama. And she won first place in the 56-kilo division bench press. All of these are bench presses is what she's been competing in. And then in the World Wheelchair Championship Nationals in Colorado Springs, she placed second in the world competition. She set three national records in the 56-kilo class. And then in 1997, Wheelchair Sports USA Female Athlete of the Year. Unbelievable. Female Athlete of the Year. The whole United States. Isn't that unbelievable? And here you were, a mother, when she was born, saying, why, God, did you let this happen to me?
I tell you, Rick, when she didn't even sit up until she was about 8 months old. And she was I had her in her bed, and I walked in there, and I saw her sitting up in bed, and it scared me. And I was just so emotional, I thought, it's hard for me to even express
that she had the ability to pull herself up and sit up.
Well, I went in there, and I laid her back down again. And then I went behind the door and just kind of peeped to see how she was going to do this. And then I just watched her little hands grab hand over hand on the rails of the bed as she pulled herself up. And I thought, oh, Father, just thank you.
I remember when I first met her, she couldn't have been over 2 or 3. And she was strong then. And she's always had tremendous upper body strength, tremendous strength that God's blessed her with. And then, Jerry, I know you trained her for so long. I mean, you worked out at Lakeshore. Is that where you guys work out?
We started. Where did we start?
Was at Lakeshore.
No, the one we had at the house.
A little home gym, and you started working her out at the house on a home gym?
Quickly got where that was no good, so we started working out at Lakeshore.
And may I say, Jerry was so faithful to his daughter during those years. He worked her out 3 days a week, and he did that up until he had a heart bypass for 20-something years.
I know he did. Yeah, you used to go to a gym in Homewood. I remember that, and you worked out there. But, I mean, you were a daddy's daddy to this girl.
She's a pretty good lady.
And I think part of the longevity of her life has been the way that you trained her, kept her in shape, all of this. And, of course, it helped you, too, because you've been in great shape for all these years as well. In 1998, she was the winner of the Fred Sinkton Trophy of the Soaring Spirit, and this is for a physically challenged female athlete of the year for the entire state of Alabama, and she is the only wheelchair athlete to ever win this award twice. unbelievable. Right. National New London, Connecticut went to the Nationals there, first place in the 60-kilo division, set a new record in the power lift. 1999, National New London, Connecticut again, first place. 2001, USA Teen Trials International Meet, placed second there. 2002, National Sports Festival, New London, Connecticut, first place, national record. And third in the Paralympic World Powerlifting Championship in Malaysia. You guys went all the way to Malaysia. Holy cow. She has been all over the world. And she's given a witness for Jesus Christ everywhere she went. She's always wearing that shirt, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Yeah. Can you remember any personal stories about people that she would talk to and their response as they would talk to her and her witness for Christ?
Well, just recently she was going to work, and she had on her Philippians 4:13 shirt. And I was going to meet her down there. She was going ahead of me, and as she was rolling by in her wheelchair, this man stopped her. He was cleaning windows, and he said, "Give me some advice." And she said, "Well, I can give you my motto. It's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And he just looked at her, and he said, "Thank you so much."
Absolutely. And she has befriended a lot of celebrities. I think she became friends with
Charlie Pride,
used to call her. Anybody, any other celebrities that...
Well, he was the main celebrity that she picked him up at the airport, took him to Jemison, and
wow, got to hang out with old Charlie Pride. Well, this is a story of tragedy to triumph. This is God's grace in action. She is a testimony of the grace of God, and you are a testimony to God's grace as a mother and a father that had no resources other than the Word of God and your own ability to hang in there. I know it must have been discouraging in the early years before you began to learn these biblical principles and concepts, but in your soul, your faith has been the one thing that's carried you and sustained you all these years. The difference between what you've gone through and what someone else may go through is that person might not have the biblical frame of reference to sustain them. That person may lose hope and may feel like they're being cursed, or they may lose despair. They may go into depression or anxiety. And yet you never had any of that. You were able to have a great peace in your soul that came from knowing the Word of God through all of these. Is that correct?
Yes, and God gave me another verse, Rick. It was Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope."
Thank you. Thank you. If you're listening today to the radio show, don't forget this. God has a marvelous plan for you. And that plan started when his only anointed son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, went to the cross and paid the penalty for your sin. The Bible says, "He that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God through him." Jesus Christ took our place. He paid our penalty. He died in our place. You don't owe God a debt today. That debt is paid. And the Bible asks a simple question. What think ye of Christ? Have you ever made the greatest decision that a person could make in this world, and that's to believe in Jesus Christ? Paul the Apostle put it this way, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." I've often heard it said that bad decisions limit future options, and when you fail to believe in Jesus Christ, there is no hope. The Bible says, "He that believeth not, the wrath of God abides on him already." You don't have to wait and die to go to hell. Some people live in hell every day, because they haven't tapped into the phenomenal resources of the Word of God. Believe in Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Savior. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you will see tragedy turn to triumph in your life as well. This is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline today.
You've been listening to The Flatline with host Rick Hughes. Listen every Sunday morning at 9 for The Flatline with Rick Hughes on 960 WERC.